six, five, six, seven, eight. Welcome to Study Hub, the podcast that aims to give you the tips and tricks to help you do your best in the Leaving Cert. My name is Maura Fay and I'm your host for RTÉ Study Hub. Today we're kicking off with Irish Paper 2.
Hi Faye, how's it going? So just come back to me again now, come back to me.
Oh, yeah.
So, do you mind just filling me in? How was your week? I'm going to stop you there, Peg, if that's okay. So, do you remember that the super progress you've made in the last week? We were kind of targeting that just endlessly negative raw-mating that you kind of go on with. And that is the thing that has really isolated you from others, Peg, isn't it, love?
Tommy or Ghoul, Taron Ilion.
That's comedy troupe CC Cahoots imagining what Peg Sayers might be like if she was in therapy. For years, her autobiography was synonymous with the Leaving Cert, but it's no longer on the exam. To find out what is, I'm joined by Moonchor Shane DePauwer from the Dublin Academy of Education. Shane, will you talk us through Paper 2, please?
No problem at all. It's great to be back. So Irish Paper 2 starts off with two reading comprehensions, Ceisteanna Mhuire Shane. From there, we move to Ceisteanna Mhuire Dhó, which is the prose section. Ceisteanna Mhuire Trí would be the filiocht, would be the poetry. And finally, we have the litríocht bhreise, would be your extra literature question. So four different elements of the exam. Most importantly, probably, is the reading comprehensions.
So question one, talk to me through about that, because what they're looking for is kind of straightforward.
Oh, it's really straightforward. It's probably the best answered question throughout Paper 1 and Paper 2. Students love it. Doesn't matter what ability you are in Irish, you'll do well pretty much in the reading comprehensions. There are two comprehensions. You have 90 minutes. Well, that's what I would recommend. You have 90 minutes to get them done. You have five paragraphs in each comprehension and you have three questions per paragraph. So A, B1, B2. And for those answers, for questions 1 to 5, I want you to copy and paste. What I mean by that is, look at the question, find what it says in the comprehension, don't make any changes at all, and put it back on paper exactly the same way it is in the comprehension. So it's copy and paste, essentially.
But then in question 6B, it says, Ida Uckel Fain.
Oh, those, yeah, famous three words. You'd be shocked the amount of people, when I'm correcting exams in the summer, that go and take the question 6B directly from the comprehension. So much so that over the years, they've actually changed Ida Uckel Fain to be in bold writing in it. They've changed the text in it because people don't listen. It's basically an opinion question. You've read comprehension, you're reading about maybe a social issue going on in Ireland, and they ask you to express your own opinion on what's going on. And to do that, you have to use your own Irish. You are, of course, allowed to rob a couple of words from the text, but you're not allowed to rob full sentences. You must put your own stamp on affairs. So that's the same for both comprehensions, basically.
So 90 minutes on that. Yeah. It's the most marks going for it.
Yeah, it's 100 marks, which is about 16.7% of the exam. And like, students will do very well in this. They'll be very happy to see this. I just think it's quite a fair question for students and it's a really nice way to start the exam. I would highly recommend that all students start with this. This is worth 50% of the marks on Irish Paper 2. So I wouldn't leave the biggest mark question to the end of the exam. I would do it straight away. 45 minutes for each, and that'll set you off to a fine start.
So then question 2, the prose question. Talk to me about this one.
Yeah, so the exam has gone a little bit simpler since the COVID amendments. We have five prose to study. However, because we have choice on the paper now, two pieces will appear and you will have to answer them one. Because of that, we only have to study four pieces of prose. There's three in particular that I'm really focusing on this year with my students. Those three would be Her Lammabuck, Tiernan Og and Cock and Millish. I'm not looking at Gnarwood in great detail and I'm also not looking at Deish in great detail. I would still look at it, I would teach it, but I wouldn't be focusing in it as it has appeared 2 years in a row, which is very, very unusual. So they'd be the three I'd be looking at. It's a 30 mark question. You have 25 minutes to answer it. And typically you should be writing, I would say, anywhere between a page and a half and 2 pages for the very best students who are looking to secure top marks. What should you be writing about? Typically, these questions focus on character analysis and character behaviour. So that's one of the things I hammer home to my students. Like, don't write a summary. Ordinary level Irish do the same topics. And we ask them to write summaries of events. For a Leaving Cert higher level Irish, you are there to discuss what happens in the piece and you're there to answer the question. So you might learn a summary and it might have the right bits of information in it. But if you don't try address the question and use the correct information to answer the question, you're not going to do particularly well. I think the average grade for a summary, a very good summary, summer, he gets about 16 or 17 out of 30, which is not very good.
So you say to use examples, though, in your answer rather than a summary. So what are those examples?
So for example, like, let's say if I just focus on Tiernan Oge this year. So you might get a question about doing an analysis of the character of Oisín, the main character, and you'd be asked to describe him as a Dina Grav or a loving person, Dina Dealish as a loyal person. So you'd look for examples in the piece. Where is he loving? Well, he clearly loved his wife, Niamh. He spent 300 years happily married to her. Yeah, obviously.
Marriage made in heaven there.
Absolutely. He had three children with her. He did anything for her on the way to Tiernan Oge. He stopped and fought a battle to prove his love for her. Then you also would have the examples of him being loyal, that although he left his tribe and he left the Fianna, he cried as he did that. And then when he returned to Ireland many years later, seeing that they had all passed away, he was upset by that. And then eventually in the end, that he announces himself as Misha Oisín Ní an na Féinne. I'm Oisín, a descendant of na Fianna, from the Fianna. So there's just examples there that we can use to prove that he's loving and loyal. And we don't just have to go, here's the part A of the story all the way to the end. So I just want bits from the story that help you answer the question. I don't need all of it.
And then question three is the poetry section. So what can students expect to be asked about here?
So the poetry question has typically been split into three separate questions. Question one is a 15-mark question. Question two tends to be a 6-mark question, and question three is a 9-mark question. They're all focusing on poetic techniques for the most part. So question one for 15 marks typically is, I find a lot of time, about images, contrast or theme, but it's just disguised with different words. So if I use the example of Kullskara this year, Kullskara would be a poem that a lot of students would hope to appear this year. Like they might say, Tá difríochtaí Ulvora or Tá deacrachtaí Codra le Feicáil, that there's huge differences or there's relationship difficulties to be seen. That's a contrast question. They're basically asking you, Kullskara, sorry, I should have said means divorce. They're asking you to show why these two people in the poem got divorced. So it's a theme kind of contrast question. The 6-mark questions tend to focus on smaller answers. So you'd have a question about how the poem impacted you. What's the strongest emotion? What did you think of the title? What did you think of the ending? They'd be very 4 typical 6-mark questions. And usually, not in all the poems, but usually you will get a 9-mark question about the life and the works that the poet has produced. So what I'm looking for there is the name of the poet. If that's wrong, you get 0.
Okay.
If you get the name of the poet right, and then you want maybe 2 sentences about the poet's life and 2 sentences about other works that the poet has composed.
Okay, so what poems are you tipping to come up, and how long should people write for this question?
Okay, so let's go, what would students love to see? Kullskara is what everyone wants to see. Kullskara is the only poem that hasn't appeared in the exam in the last 2 years, and if all is right in the world, Kullskara will appear and there'll be a lot of happy
students.
Come
on, Kullskara!
Exactly. apart from that, I'd probably be looking at Magrasa and at Spaltbean Phonach. They're the 3 that didn't appear last year, so they're the 3 I would definitely have a look at. And if I was to look at one other poem, I feel that probably the favourite poem of most teachers and maybe people who set the exams is probably in Tara Keir. It's the nicest poem to listen to. Mórtín Odiron's the poet. His work has been on this Leaving Cert course. It's on the next Leaving Cert course. It's been on the old Junior Cert. It's on the new Junior Cert. So they love his work. So if they were to repeat a poem, which hasn't happened again, I think they would go with Tara Keir. And I should say, for the length of answers, for your 15-mark answer, about 1.5 pages. 6-mark answer, 6 sentences. And your 9-mark answer, give or take about 6 sentences also. And in total, you should spend about 30 minutes on that question.
Okay, so the last question then, question 4. This is the extra literature question.
That's it.
What's the approach here?
It depends what you're doing. There's loads of different options on it. The 2 that are most popular, from my experience of correcting the exams, are on Triel. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be the happiest story in the world.
And no, then I did that one.
And you have a Hignaí Hitchin, which is definitely more upbeat. I'll start with Untreal first of all. I like Untreal because I feel it's tried and tested, and I don't think, you know, once you know the storyline, it revolves around one character, obviously, which is Moira and her demise and her downfall. So for sample questions here, typically I get my students to look at Moira's life, start to finish, her character arc, what happens to her. Not quite a summary mentioning every detail, but pick 5 or 6 people she meets along the way in her life who ultimately don't help her and make her life worse. Another question you would look at is society as a whole in Ireland, and the 2 words they'd be looking for is a hypocritical society or a cruel society. Fiminach would be a hypocritical, cruelach would be cruel. So describing, it's a very similar question to what we've just spoke with. They're describing how the people she meets along the way in Ireland are cruel and hypocritical, and that their behaviours aren't really shaped by kind of treating people well, more that the fear of what the church would say about them. And then finally, the last question will be about Pádraig. Pádraig is the man who causes Moira's pain, disappears for a while and shows up at the end and causes a bit more trouble as well. So I would have an answer prepared on him. They're the 3 questions that I look at for Untreal year in, year out with my students. And yeah, it tends to go pretty well with them ones. When looking at a Hignaí Hitchin, I wouldn't be an expert at this one, as I don't really teach it. I would know bits of it from correcting about it. But typically, it's about an autobiography about Mike Danny and O'Shea. And what I'd be telling students to look at there is typically about music, sport, his youth, his time in school, and then the life of the Gaeltacht people. There's five elements. And when you look back over the past paper questions, there's always a mix of one or two of those elements put in together and give examples from the story. And the key thing is with those two questions there, I want you to give me examples of character behaviour. That's the biggest thing in Irish paper too. Talk about character behaviour. And link it to the words of the question. Summaries are no good. Summaries won't get you the marks that you want. You could learn a fantastic summary with all the right points, but if you don't attempt to answer the question, I'm not able to award you any marks, really. So that'd be my advice there.
Okay, and then spelling and grammar in this exam, how important is it?
Nothing like Irish Paper 1. Irish Paper 1 basically is all spelling and grammar. You know, there's 80 marks for your quality of Irish. We spoke of that previously. In this question here, question 2, the prose, question 3, the poetry, and question 4, what we've just spoken about there, they all have a hidden 5 marks for grammar. So if it says it's worth 40 marks, it's actually worth 35, and 5 marks go for the quality of your Irish. I would say to students, the biggest thing that will stop you doing well with Irish on Irish Paper 2 and your language ability is incorrect sentence structure. If I can't understand your sentence structure, it doesn't matter what keywords are there, I don't know what you're saying. A shavu missing here or a misword spelt there that isn't terribly misspelt, you'll get away with, you'll still do pretty well. Now, you don't want to see it throughout the piece, but in my opinion, poor sentence structure using is instead of ta or vice versa, or starting a verb with the past tense meaning to speak in the present tense, that is far worse for you and your grade. So keep your sentence structure good, make sure I can understand your points, and I'm happy to award your marks.
You have a key tip for doing well in this exam, and it's saying it's about the number of nouns and adjectives you should have for each answer.
Yeah, so when you look at each individual piece, there's no point having like a list of 20 nouns for Irish Paper 2. You treat every story or poem as an individual piece. And I tell my students, if you have 20 nouns and 10 adjectives for each piece, because the verbs are always the same, we see, we look, we understand, we get. So if you have 20 nouns and 10 adjectives for each piece, you will be able to put sentences together. Even if you've prepared something and you kind of have forgotten it, if you've got those 20 keywords, those 10 adjectives, you can build sentences and then you can answer the question with that. So that's what I tell my students. If all else fails the night before the exam, make those list of words as your backup.
Okay. And lastly, Shane, so you say definitely start with question 1 because the most marks are going there. Does it matter what order you do the other questions in?
No, it doesn't really matter. Definitely start with the comprehensions. They're worth most marks. After that, I tell my students, do the question that suits you best. If you're really good at Coolscora, and Coolscora has appeared in this exam, go on to the one you're best at. My only bit of advice would be, please make sure you do finish the paper. Don't go, start with question 1, do question 3, do question 4, and think, that's great, I'm after finishing up here, and off you go 25 minutes early. Just make sure you do answer all the questions. And if you do that, you'd be happy as Larry.
Good to know. Okay, thank you so much for that, Shane. Let's turn our attention to history.
And the veal chop is done with rosemary. In fact, it's really good. Really good.
Veal is good.
Yes, doesn't matter, never mind.
May we have 2 eggs mayonnaises?
Certainly, why not? Why not indeed? We are all friends now, eh?
A prawn cocktail.
All in the market together. Old differences forgotten, and no need at all to mention the war.
That is a clip from the brilliant Fawlty Towers. But unlike what John Cleese suggests, we do have to mention the war, the empires, the Free State in the history exam. Sean Delap is the principal of Cloisteachán Easegon and a history teacher, and he's with us now. Sean, talk me through the history exam, the format, the layout. What can people expect?
Well, the history exam, the first thing you're going to see is your document study question, and that's worth 20% of the marks. The document study this year, it goes in a two-year cycle. It's based on a topic called dictatorship and democracy. And you have 3 case studies there, and they will ask on one of those case studies. So the case studies would be Stalin's show trials, which they asked last year. They've never repeated it, but there's no hard and fast rule that they can't. It would be unlikely to come up, but I think for safety reasons, I would still have a look at it. The other 2 case studies are the Nuremberg rallies and the Jarrow March. And what you'll get there is 2 documents. It could be a cartoon document. It could be 2 written documents. And you have 4 sets of questions on the document study question. First set will be based on comprehension. Shane was talking earlier about comprehension. It's simple. Take it from what's in front of you. The answer is on the paper. If you're writing about something else that isn't on the paper, your answer is actually wrong. So it's very, very simple. You just take it from the paper, but just have a double check on it. And that's worth 20 out of 100 marks. Then you have comparison. We've got to compare both documents. And just remember that comparisons, it can be similarities as well as differences. And what I would say when you're comparing the documents, two examples from document A, two examples from document B. Okay. Just and that would then... It gets a little bit more difficult. You go on to criticism, where they're looking maybe at the type of document. So they may ask you about the usefulness of a document. For instance, if it's a letter, they may ask you about how useful a letter is, how useful a newspaper article is. And one of the things you can always do with this one is one of your answers. Every document you get in the leave insert is dated. So you can simply say this is useful. It's got a date on it. Date allows the student or the historian to place it in its historical context. And you can say then in this case, and I would say look at it, where's the document coming in, start, middle or end of the case study, and that'll tell you an awful lot about the mood of it.
Yeah.
You know, and then your last part of the question is called contextualization, and that is a 40 marker. It's a mini essay. Yeah. And very, very pointed questions there. Just be careful with them. They're usually looking for something specific, causes and consequences particularly. So don't be padding it out with an awful lot of background information. Get stuck into it. Now, apart from that, you have three essay type questions to do. And before COVID times, you would have to take one essay from each of three different topics. Now you're allowed to double up on one of them. So you could do two questions from a topic in Irish history and one from a topic in European history. Or you could still go for the old way and do one question from each of three topics. So there's a tendency there maybe to cut an entire topic out and go for broken one of them. I suppose at this stage, if you haven't started the last topic, you're going to have to go down that road. But my advice generally would be to study all three topics, and that'll give you a much better choice in the leave insert. It's rare, you know, when you go in, and never go in expecting the perfect paper that you're going to win. You're going to look at every section and say, geez, that's a great paper. I can do everything on that. Usually it'll be something a little bit difficult. And if you go in with that attitude, you won't be disappointed. But you actually can avoid it now, because you can avoid that different section by doubling up in a section. Maybe that's easier.
Mm. Looking at the history paper, the questions, there's great choice there, and the questions seem very open-ended. So I'm just wondering, in order to do the best with the marking scheme, how long should you write, and what are the examiners looking for in your answer?
Yeah, well, the examiners, the essays really, I would say there's three things really. When you get an essay, there's three things you've got to look for here. And first of all would be the dates. And your essays are marked, by the way, 60 out of 100, 60 on relevant information, not background information, and 40 on the way you analyse the question. So it's not a matter of just regurgitating facts. You do need to be able to analyse. So break down the question just for a minute before you start. So look at the dates and stick with them. You will get a maximum of 12 marks out of 60 for background information, but that's it. And if you continue on after the date, you know, your 12 marks is possibly used up already. You're getting nothing from it from that point onwards. Also watch out. Some of the questions will have dates written. Others will have dates implied. It could be something like there was a question one year as De Valera as a leader. Mm. And everyone took that as that's De Valera from 1932 onwards. But no, De Valera was one of the leaders in the 1916 Rising.
Very true.
He was also a leader of Sinn Féin. So just break it. Might the question might be a little bit more generous than you realise. You know, and there was another question a number of years ago on where people went badly astray. It was quite a few years ago. Mussolini is a leader of Italy. And I think something like one third of all candidates that answered that question wrote an awful lot about his rise to power.
Mm.
But the hint was leader, and that was 1922.
Okay.
You know, and that was your starting point. And anything before 1922, that's background information, and you're stuck to 12 marks. Now, the second thing you need to look at then is how many parts are in a question. And quite often, a lot of the questions on the leave-ins will be two-part. It could be how successful was the Cumann na Gael government at dealing with law and order and external affairs. So you've clearly two parts of that question. And everyone automatically thinks that you need to divide your points equally. Mm. Which you don't need to do.
Okay.
But you do need to address the question, both parts, somewhere along the line. So if you were said to yourself, "God, I would have loved if that question was based on law and order. I could really go to town on it. I don't know much about external affairs." You're still okay to do it. As long as you put in a paragraph, as long as you put in one point on external affairs, you're fine. If you ignore it, you will get a maximum out of 50 out of 60 for your points and a maximum of 21 out of 40 for analysis. So, but it, all it takes is just a few sentences. Yeah. And, you know, you can still score very highly. There's often not a lot of questions too with an and or, and they sometimes throw pupils and they don't seem to like them. I think they're very generous. It's asking you to maybe write about, you know, Terence O'Neill and or Brian Faulkner. Now, you could do most of your essay on Terence O'Neill, but you feel you're a little bit short, throw one or two points in on Brian Faulkner. It doesn't need to be half and half. You can ignore them completely. You can have it half and half. You can have it three quarters, one quarter. You can do it whatever way you want. You know, and they're very, very... So look at the generosity in some of the questions, the inbuilt choices, and take them. The last thing you need to look at when doing essays is to look out for keywords. And they'll give you a hint to really where you should be moving in the essay. Keywords would be something like, what were the causes and consequences of, say, the Jarrow March or something? So they're not looking for the story there. They're looking for what caused it. And then they're looking for the consequences.
Okay.
And again, that would be like a two-part question where you wouldn't necessarily need to do it half and half. You know, if you were running out of time and you have a lot of causes, just stop yourself for a second to get one consequence in. And that's all you got to do.
Yeah.
But so remember dates, parts and keywords. That's what you got to look at and break your essay down.
Analyse what the question is rather than just saying something.
Yeah, there's 40% of the marks for every essay. They're awarded for your ability to analyse the question.
And what, sorry, length are we looking for here in terms of writing?
Length, I'd say that's enough. It's hard to know. Do you see, length-wise, I'd say average handwriting about 4 pages.
Okay.
But what I would say as well is that every point you make is marked on a scale of 0 to 12. And if you're a slow writer, and some of them are, you're probably better off picking a question that's got ones on society and economy that would have a lot of statistical information in them because they pick up the points very quickly. You look at a paragraph and it's full of statistics and, you know, really solid information, and that's just shouting out, give me marks.
Yeah.
And for the slow student, they can do much, much better on them, whereas you could get maybe another question where you'd be analysing the Anglo-Irish Treaty. And that's more of a sort of a discussion question you'll have to draw out. So it's really horses for courses in a way, you know. But I would always suggest if students are a little bit slow at writing and have a tendency not to finish the paper, to try and go for those questions where you have big hitting facts and figures that you can stick into the paragraphs. Your marks will tot up a lot quicker if you do that.
Okay. And then section 3 is about Europe. What is it that students like about this exam, and what's your suggestion on how to approach it?
Well, the section 2 and 2 would be Irish and 3 would be Europe. You could actually ignore one of those sections altogether by doubling up now, you know. you could do take two Irish sections.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend not studying one of them, as I said at the start. The other thing I would say is look at the very positives here. Mm. You've got a research topic that has to go in. Most of them should have this done now. It has to be sent in by the 2nd of May. So that's the Friday after return from their Easter holidays. The average mark on that over the last number of years has been somewhere between 89 and 91%. They do very, very well in it. And a lot of students will actually get the 100% in it.
Mm.
And, you know, that will cover up for any little mistakes you've made on the time. The other thing that students would ask, if you're running out of time in the Leaving Cert, what should you do? Should you write bullet points? Wouldn't fully recommend bullet points. I would recommend write a point and write two sentences on it. Because remember, you're getting marks for information and you're getting marks for analysis. If you're just simply listing bullet points, you're going to get nothing really for the analysis. And I would say just pick a point, two sentences, pick another one, two sentences until the examiner pulls the paper from under you.
Mm.
And, you know, you will limit the damage in that way.
And then, you know, history, it's a big syllabus.
It is.
You know, we're getting closer and closer to the Leaving Cert. How should students organise their revision over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, there's one key document that you need, and that's your past exam papers. And, you know, if you're going through your past exam papers and you say, well, you know, that one there in 2004, yeah, I could handle that. I could handle the 2005 to 2007, 2008. So you need to look at it a little bit more. And once you feel, as you're going back through, you know, it's not, even if the papers aren't particularly generous, you can cover something in every section. You're ready, you know, and it's a great way to give yourself a little boost. And if you look back on it, you'll discover that a lot of the questions are coming up in a very, very similar fashion. And one thing to watch out for, there is a little tendency in this course that came in 2006 to repeat a small amount of questions. So just keep an eye out for that one, you know.
Nice tip there. Thanks so much for that, Sean. Finally, on to our last subject for the day, physics.
The life and works of John Tyndall. And to provide you with some examples, there was magnetism and diamagnetism. He worked on the absorption of infrared gases by the atmosphere, which is the origin of the global warming, to show you could bend light down a falling stream of water. He worked on how to get optically pure air and germs and Tyndall scattering, for example, why your eye is blue.
That's Professor Paul Hurley from UCC telling us about the work of Irish scientist John Tyndall. Why are we playing it? Because he might come up on the physics exam. And Kieran Mills, teacher of physics and applied maths at Grinds 360, is here to talk us through this paper. Kieran, let's begin with the format and duration of this exam.
A 3-hour paper, Maura. Two sections. Section A, which is the experimental section. And these are all the experiments that you'd be doing in the lab. They're called the mandatory experiments. So there's 25 of those. And then section B is the theory section. It's probably about 1/3 section A, 2/3 section B. I always tell students, start with section A because it's easier. And there's no need to read the rest of the paper because A and B are mutually exclusive. So just get stuck into section A. You've got your 25 experiments. You've got quite a nice choice. You're going to do 3 out of 5. I have some tips for you. Will I give you some tips?
Please, fire away.
I'm always reluctant to give tips, of course, because this is going to be on record and they can come back and get you later on. But just looking at the trends, and of course, I always say to students they can make up their own tips. Mm. What do teachers actually do? We just look for trends over the last number of years. We don't do anything magical. We certainly have no inside information, that's for sure. Yeah. But I would say the big experiments that keep coming up and haven't come up for maybe 2 or 3 years, that's what I'd be picking. So I'm going to pick Snell's Law. I'm going to pick Joule's Law. I'm going to pick conservation of momentum. And I'm going to pick a sonometer experiment involving length, frequency versus length.
Okay.
If I get 2 of them, I'll be happy.
Okay. And then in this section, section A, you have to do an awful lot of drawing, let's say, drawing diagrams. What's the approach here to get top marks?
There shouldn't be any. This is a much easier section, much more predictable. So in terms of studying first, there's essentials you need before you go into the exam. Don't go into the exam without these essentials. So I need to know a label diagram of every single experiment. I need just read through the experiment. You're never going to have to write out the experiment, but they might ask you certain details about it. So just read the experiment a number of times. And this is really essential. You have to know the suitable graph. And what I mean by the suitable graph is what goes on each axis. You'll get a table of results and you have to know, do I square it? Do I get the square root of something? That's essential. And then know what the graph will look like. And then know a few experimental details like errors and precautions. How can you make your experiment a little bit better? They are the essentials. A lot of the stuff after that, you can wing it because you've done the experiment in the lab. So a lot of it would be common sense as to how you will answer the question.
And what's the best way to study for these experiments?
Well, I tell students there's 25 experiments. You can do this in one weekend. Get a number of flashcards or index cards and just put on those index cards exactly what I said. Your label diagram, a very simple diagram. I don't want any fancy art, 3-dimensional Picasso kind of art. I just want a nice, simple diagram that you can literally do in about 30 seconds. Sketch your graph, write down the formula and where it might be in your table book.
Yep.
And then 3 experimental details. Do that for all 25 experiments and you will have covered, believe it or not, you will have covered 90% of what they're going to ask.
Okay, so section A is, you say, the easy section. Then section B, there's more marks going here. So what can students expect here?
So section B, yes, harder. So after 1 hour maximum, I'm finished section A. So I should be nice and relaxed now. And moving into section B, it's the theory section. I tell every student to do the very first question. You can do any 5 questions out of 9. I tell them to do the very first question. It's question number 6. It's a mixture of short questions, 7 marks each. I tell them to write down all 12 parts with 2 or 3 lines between them and just gradually fill that in throughout the exam. So you don't even feel like you're doing an exam question. You keep on coming back to it after you finish a question. And it's a great way of jogging your memory of other parts of the course. Mm-hmm. So that's 1 question now out of the way. So definitely do that question. I'd also do the very last question, question 14. I've said this before. There, you're going to do 2 out of 4 parts, and they're half questions. And because they're half questions, they can't ask you anything too detailed. They can't ask you a very complicated circuit or very difficult calculation. So it's a nice, two nice questions to do. The very first question in section B, question 6, and the very last question, question 14. And then you're left with 3 after that to do.
Okay. And there's a broad syllabus here. There, I think there's 50 experiments here.
There would be 25 mandatory experiments. Okay. And then when you get into section B, you have these things called demonstration experiments.
Yep.
I counted them recently. I always said there was about 50 of them, but there's 42 of them.
Okay.
And you could be asked 3 or 4 of them, and they're worth a lot of marks. So you've got to cover them very, very well. You have to put in your 3 headings: apparatus, method, and observation. Do that very clearly. Again, nice diagram. Write in your apparatus, write in your method. You don't have to write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're literally going to be putting in 1 or 2 sentences for your method and your observation, maybe a conclusion, but the conclusion is probably what they already asked you to do anyway. And they'll give 3, 3, and 3 for each of those parts. So demo experiments, I would suggest, probably the hardest part to learn for section B. I always break the course more into the mundane, the boring, the rote learning.
These
the
are definitions, your words.
And the intelligent, which I like, where I can use my calculator, I can show off a little bit. And the course is about 50-50.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get a lot of intelligent students who say, I couldn't be bothered doing the mundane, but they won't get their H1, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You can get to college. When you get to college, you can worry about the intelligent. But unfortunately, we have to get through. We have to get through this. That's the way it is. So the demo experiments are the mundane.
Yeah.
And they're a pain.
These are the ones that you have to do.
Yeah, there's about 42 of them, and you got to learn them really well.
Yeah.
And as I said, they ask, you know, I'd say on any paper, there will be 3, 4, 5 of them in any particular year.
Okay. So doing the intelligent questions, and you know, the ones where you have to work out calculations, should you work a theorem or calculation into a prose answer if you need to?
Right. That's a kind of a deep kind of question, Maura.
Okay.
no, I don't know where that comes from.
Okay.
We have a table book now, of course.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic resource. I mean, that table book has been there, I think, maybe 12 years. And before that, students had to learn off their formulae, which was crazy. Mm. So now it's legal cogging, if you like. You have a resource book that would be worth probably 20% of the marks if you use it properly. Okay. So when I do a calculation, literally, go to your table book, write down the relevant formulae. They'll give you 3 marks every time you write down a relevant formula. So write it down, throw the numbers in. The mathematics isn't that difficult.
Yeah.
A good ordinary level math student would be able to cope with these calculations. Use your calculator. Every student will be able to use their calculator and set it out like that.
Okay. What is the timing for each section? How long would you be spending?
So you've got to do 3 experimental questions from section A. Mm-hmm. So maximum 20 minutes per question. That'll give you an hour. You'll probably get it done in about 15. If you're finished after 45, move on. Don't say I'm going to do an extra question at that point. You'll do that at the very end. And then you're moving in then into section B. So after 1 hour, you've done your section A. And as I said, you're feeling good about yourself because it's not that difficult. You're drawing diagrams, you're drawing graphs. Students have been drawing graphs since they were in first year, primary school or whatever. So once they know the suitable graph, of course. And then when they move into section B, I would say 20 to 25 minutes. That sounds a bit lax the way I said that, but, you know, questions can vary. So I would say it should normally take you 20 minutes max, but if you need 25, take that. Probably less time to look over your paper at the very end.
Okay, thank you for that. So that's it for this week's Study Hub and indeed the series. Thanks to Shane Dupar, Sean Delap and Kieran Mills and indeed all the lovely teachers who joined us for this series. Also thanks to Rory who does our social clips, Ronan who edits the RTE Learn site, Joe who uploads to YouTube, Emily who gets her podcast up, and big gratitude to Study Hub producer Kieran O'Byrne. And to you, the people who've downloaded, streamed and tuned into the podcast, mind yourselves. I hope the Leaving Cert goes well for you and you all have a brilliant summer. Best of luck. 5, 6, 5, 6, 6.